Daniel 5, in the ESV, it's headed "The Handwriting on the Wall." King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of 1,000. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem be brought, and that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the kings and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood and stone. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote in the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand. And the king saw the hand as it wrote. Then the king's colour changed and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers. The king declared to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and shows me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed, and his colour changed, and his lords were perplexed. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banqueting hall, and the queen declared, "O king, live forever. Let not your thoughts alarm you or your colour change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers. Because an excellent spirit of knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, "You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judah. I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your reward to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writings to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, and he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways you have not honoured. Then from his presence the hand was sent and the writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Amen. And may God bless to us that reading of this word. I'll now ask Wally to bring us the message. Thank you, brother.
I know we've just read from Daniel, but I'm going to read a couple of verses from out of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 9, verses 17 and 19 reads, "The horses and riders are..." excuse me. "The horses and riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow like sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury." And that's a pretty graphic. It's a pretty graphic description of God's grace to the unbeliever. I want to repeat that statement. It's a pretty graphic description of God's grace to the unbeliever. Now you may be wondering what planet I'm from, or for making such a statement, but let me assure you that I'm not going senile, and neither am I on drugs. Verses 20 to 21 explain to us how this description of God's mercy to unbelievers. Because first of all, think back: how many people were killed by the three plagues? Verses 20 and 21 reads, "The rest of mankind that were not killed..." Sorry, it says that there was a third of them that were killed. That means there's two-thirds of the world still alive. However, verses 20 and 21 reads, "The rest of mankind that were not killed by the plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshipping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, or wood. Idols that cannot see or hear or walk, Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immorality, or their thefts. God's grace to the unbeliever is seen in that God does not leave us without warnings. That God does warn us, he does prepare us. You and I are to live in the knowledge that God judges us, that he judges you and I. Here in chapter 5 of Daniel, starts out great. It's a party. Yeah? Who doesn't like parties? They can be great fun. He has a great feast, and it is a huge thing. There are 1,000 nobles here enjoying this feast, along with the king. But unfortunately, some of you are old enough to know that if you go to the wrong party, it can be serious trouble. And some of you aren't so old, let me warn you, you can go to the wrong parties and they can be terrible. In this party, things are going well until Belshazzar calls for the gold and silver tablets that were taken from the temple in Jerusalem. And it's from this point on that things go downhill. It's from this point on that everything goes wrong. And it goes wrong because Belshazzar introduces, once again, the battle between the one true God, maker of heaven and earth, and everybody else. All the other so-called gods that we create within our mind and our hearts. All the other idols and things that we put together. And as you can see, Daniel chapters 1 to 5, 1 to 6, actually all about in the background of that is all about this battle between who is the true God and who isn't. And in every case, the Lord God of heaven and earth stands up and shows that he is the one who's in control. Because we read this goes down with downhill once these goblets, once these drinking vessels are brought out and used to toast the gods of the of wood and stone and bronze and silver and gold and iron and all of that. I mean, were these goblets magic? Was there something intrinsic about these goblets that when they were used in the party that made them toxic? No. They were simply items that were dedicated to the one true God, being used to worship other gods. Young people, you've been dedicated to God. And if you grew up in this church, you've been baptized. To present and being dedicated and set aside and set apart for God. It's not a magical thing, but it is a serious thing. And you must decide whether you're going to be useful for God or against him. There was an old man who became a Christian in his old age. And when it was asked, when he was talked about him, he said it was like having two dogs fight inside him. And when he was asked, that's which one was winning, he said, the one that's one I feed the most. And you and I are in that position. No matter what age we are, we're all in that same position. Are you living in such a way that you're useful to God? Are you living it as a person who is dedicated to God? Well, Belshazzar is a fool. Now, I don't mean he's an idiot. I'm pretty sure he can be quite smart. But the Bible calls him a fool. Because the Bible says that A fool says in his heart, there is no God. Or, in Belshazzar's case, not so much that there is no God, but the one true God of heaven and earth doesn't exist. He breaks them up into gods of gold and silver and stone and wood and everything else and anywhere else he wants. And so he's a fool. By his actions, we see that he doesn't believe in the one true God of heaven and earth. But how do we show that we believe in him? How do we show that we believe in one true God? If you really believe and trust in God the Father and Jesus Christ, then you won't just listen and obey, but you will think and obey. It's not just being told from up front, from up here, or from our parents, or from things, what we must do. Any idiot can do that. But if we are really committed to Christ, we will think through, what does that mean? How does that mean? I mean, one of the most simplest statements you can make is that Jesus is Lord. And yet, that is one of the most profound statements you can ever make. Is he really Lord? Is he really your Lord? Is he Lord of your mouth? Is he Lord of your driving? Is he Lord of your life? And yet it's a simple thing to say. Belshazzar is a fool because he should know better. Any fool can, as I said, any idiot can do what they're told, but a wise person will think and do what is right. Did you know that there is no command saying that you can't drink out of these cups that Nebuchadnezzar had grabbed, taken from the temple? There's no command to say that these aren't to be used. That they aren't to be used at parties. But Belshazzar had seen enough. He knew enough to know that these items were dedicated to the one true God. I mean, these things have been taken away decades. They've been sitting in some storage somewhere for decades. And they've been placed somewhere, carefully obviously, because they could go and find them. They weren't just jumbled up in a back room somewhere. Somebody actually had to go down and find them and bring them out and so they could be used. So these things aren't just dumped around and stumbled upon by accident. He calls for them to be brought out. He lays down the challenge against the one true God of heaven and earth. He deliberately asks for those things to be brought through to humble and humiliate the one true God. That's what he's doing. It's not what exactly may not be spelled out in the passage, but that's what's happening. That's where he's going. He's throwing down the challenge. Just as Nebuchadnezzar did in chapter 4, just as Nebuchadnezzar did in chapter 3, in chapter 2, I mean, all those ones back, is the challenge is thrown down to God. And God answers them. And Belshazzar should know this because his father had that. His father was humbled for a season, wandering around like an animal for a long time. And while his father was wandering around like an animal, Belshazzar was ruling the place. Was the caretaker king. And when Nebuchadnezzar got his mind back, where he told about how he makes a grand statement and declares that the one true God is the only true God. And Belshazzar knows this. It's his very father. It's not as though this has happened while Belshazzar was sleeping. It's not as though these things have happened while he was out of the country. He was right there. And unlike his father, unlike his son, Nebuchadnezzar ended his days praising God. But Belshazzar is a fool. He knew what was right. He knew that in a contest of the gods, the God of the Hebrews always made it a no contest. There was nothing, there was no fight. Learning from experience, we're told that we're to learn from experience, but learning from experience in many ways is inefficient. It's inefficient because you get the test before you get the lesson. There's only the idiotic that need to experience trouble to find out that it's bad. We know that there is trouble, what trouble is. It's only babies who are once warned keep trying to stick their finger into the power socket. Unfortunately, in our society, there are a lot of babies who are still 40 years old or older. Those who are smarter will learn from other people's mistakes. It's much easier to see somebody else make the mistake before you go and copy it, or before you go and do it. See them get hurt or get into trouble before you go and get into trouble. And like that, Belshazzar should have learned from his father's mistakes. As I said, the whole first four chapters are all about Nebuchadnezzar making mistakes. Well, not chapter one, I can let him off chapter one, but chapter two and three and four, he should have learned better, should have known better after watching his father suffer, but he doesn't because he was a fool. Well, the question is, are we fools? Are you a fool? Am I a fool? Maybe you're just an idiot. You know, do you only learn from your own mistakes? Even though you see somebody else do it, you've still got to stick your finger in the light socket as well, just to see if it really does spark. But even learning from the mistakes of others, even though learning from the mistakes of others is smarter, it's not the wisest thing that you can do. If you want to truly be wise, then learn from the Word of God. Belshazzar had an opportunity to learn about God. He could have called Daniel at any time. I mean, the passage makes it so that he didn't even think of Daniel. And yet Daniel was one of the prominent men in the nation. I mean, he's the head of their so-called wise men. He should have known him. But when he calls for everybody, he doesn't call Daniel. You have to think why. Basically, because he doesn't want to acknowledge who Daniel serves. So he calls everybody else, hoping that they would come up with an answer. He only calls Daniel as the last resort. Does it sound familiar? You know? That we only call upon God at the last resort? That we have a little, you see them little boxes sometimes in buildings, a little red, if in case of fire, break glass. Well, sometimes, even as Christians, we have God in that little box. in case of something really, 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 really difficult that we can't get ourselves out of, break the glass, pray and ask God, turn to him. But if you're wise, you turn to him first. If you're wise, you study his scriptures. If you're wise, you think it through and put it into practice. You know, Belshazzar had opportunity, as I said, to learn from Daniel. But you and I have something much more perfect than Daniel. We have prayer, we have the scriptures, we have the Holy Spirit. Remember, God judges you. Belshazzar did not get away with it. Belshazzar. It's very hard easy to slip the two together. Belshazzar did not get away with his foolishness. Nebuchadnezzar didn't get away with his foolishness. The Apostle Peter didn't get away with his foolishness. And neither were you and I. There is a difference between Peter and Judas, both of them essentially denying God, denying Christ. Neither of them got away with it. But Peter is restored, and Judas isn't. What about you and I? Are you expecting to get away with your foolishness? I said it because, not because I know you that you do stupid things. I just know that I do. And history tells me that just about everybody in the world has ever lived does. And I'm pretty sure just about everybody in the world still does. But are we going to remember God first and come to him? Daniel speaks these words, reminds him, Belshazzar, that he is judged. But Belshazzar doesn't live to repent of that foolishness. That very night, he passes. You and I have a choice. We always have a choice. To trust God. To seek after him. As I said, to not just hear and obey, but to think and obey. Truly seek after him. If you wanted to look at Daniel's character, that's what Daniel does. From chapter 1 through to chapter 6 of Daniel. It's where whenever we come into contact with Daniel, that's Daniel seeking after God. But not so Belshazzar. So let us just pray. Oh, gracious Father, we do thank you. We pray that you would pour your Spirit upon us, that we may understand your word, and that in understanding we may practice it, that we may think it through and apply it to our lives, that we may be wise in how we live, so that we may glorify you, not just through our words, but also through our actions, and especially, O Lord, through the intent of our hearts. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy to us. We pray that you bless us and that we may be a blessing to those whom we meet. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.